me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender neutral terms.
Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo.
Oops, that was full length. Hi, everybody. Welcome again to HI. Derek should be joining us in a little bit. Notice I'm changing words to make sure I cover myself. However, before we do that, to give that young man some time to get on here, we're going to start with the old. Well, Mr. Lagans, who is with us as always, take it away.
Well, Dan, thank you for that gracious introduction. It's a pleasure to have feedback on HIAC Talk Radio. And we will be talking about a date in history. And even though I usually cover a week in wrestling history, depending on when we do the show, there's really only one significant thing that happened this week in professional wrestling, and it happened actually yesterday, in fact. Certain dates still resonate with professional wrestling fans. You know, May 17th, 1963, when Bruno Sammartino beat Buddy Rogers in 48 seconds and pretty much created the World Wrestling Federation as we see it today. January 23rd, 1984, and some would say the birth of Hulkamania. And July 7th, 1996.
Amber wants to be on the show today.
She's been sitting here for a half an hour doing nothing. But
nothing.
It's still live. It's like she knows when the camera's on.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. God
indeed
damn it.
She is indeed my daughter. God.
Yeah.
Be a bigger ham. Anyway, July 7th, 1996. WCW Bash at the Beach. 28 years ago. Yesterday. Wrestling history was a
Jesus. Easy with the years, man. Good. Sorry.
To remind myself, well, because right here, if you are a fan of HIAC Talk Radio, may recognize this jersey, because 30 years ago today, the movie celebrating the greatest kick returner in Alabama college history came out. So, yes, I want to pay homage to the great Forrest Gump, but 28 years ago, yesterday, Hulk Hogan once again made wrestling history by coming out, joining the Outsiders, using their real names, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, not Razor Ramon and Diesel. Many people thinking that they were sent to WCW from the WWE to go to war. You want a war? We'll give you one. And so WCW's finest, led by Lex Luger, Sting, and for some reason Randy Savage, who came from the WWF at the time, but they were all in full Sting face paint, were going to take on the challenge of the Outsiders, 3-on-2. But Scott Hall and Kevin Nash let them both know, our third man is here, and he's ready. So when Hogan came to the ring with Tony Schiavone, Dusty Rhodes, and Bobby Heenan on commentary, three-man booth, finally Hogan's there. And Bobby Heenan, still to this day, 28 years later, did Bobby Heenan give it away? But you, and like so many people that know Bobby Heenan, was being Bobby Heenan. Yeah, but whose side is he on? He was being a heel. Because
literally,
he was a shock to anyone. Yeah.
And then happened, playing on that, he later said, now what have I said all these years?
What have I been saying all these years? How much I hated Hogan. And Hogan throwing the referee out was a shoot, because the ref was supposed to count to three to give the victory to Hogan, Hall, and Nash. And that three count didn't count. We're not going to count that three count. And the despair of Tony Schiavone, what are we going to do now? These three men have decimated WCW. Dusty Rhodes the only man to rival Hulk Hogan in popularity in professional wrestling, telling him, you got to look yourself in the mirror. And the fans, still in shock, would start what we will be, would become an NWO staple, raining trash into the ring.
It's so funny that when Nash first starts noticing the trash, he's like, what? What do I do?
This is heavily edited, but before Mean Gene got in the ring, a fan tried to jump in, a very overweight and very slow fan who got stomped in by both Hall and Nash, and Gene Okerlin giving the excuse me. Hulk Hogan, I've been with you a lot of years. You have got to be kidding me. Yeah.
And here comes. Man. Nash looking at him is the best part, because he gives him that chance. You sure about that?
They get through.
He did not.
And I say this to, if I would say this to any indie wrestler now, or just see, I don't know, AEW still hasn't gotten the memo. Did you see when Hogan, Hall, and Nash were in the ring? They waited for Gene Okerlund to get in the ring, and Gene Okerlund interviewed him. Notice how Hogan, Hall, or Nash never grabbed the microphone from Gene Okerlund's hand. They stood there and let the announcer do their job. Remember when Steve Austin said Austin 316? Did he grab the mic from Michael Hayes' hand? No. He let the interviewer hold the mic. When Dusty Rhodes did his Hard Times promo, some say the greatest promo of all time, did he grab the microphone from Bob Caudle? No. He let the announcer do his job. If there's one thing that I hate now that I see often, or I see in AEW more than anyone else, you bring Tony Schiavone into the ring, and then whoever he's interviewing grabs the microphone from him. And then Tony waits in the corner. Why are you burying your announcer? He's there for a reason. So to everyone that let the announcer do his job. That's what made these moments great. That's what made this moment great. Where Gene Okerlund, who's known Hogan more than any, he's been synonymous with Hogan everywhere he's gone, from the AWA to the WWF, now the WCW, he'd be interviewed by Mean Gene, and all three of them waited for him to get in the ring and saying, you have got to be kidding me. I came from a very big organization up north, and who knows that organization better than me, brother? And Okerlund's great line, I've been there, I've done that. And for you to allow yourself with this man and with this man, you have got to be kidding me.
He was gonna, you gotta be shitting me.
You have made the wrong choice, in my opinion. Well, the first thing you need to do, Mean Gene, is tell all these people to shut up if they're going to hear what I got to say.
Oh, God. The only time I liked him. It's the only time I liked him.
And it's the only time when people cheered for Hogan. And, and of course, the irony. When he called it the New World Order of Wrestling and then the New World Organization. And what you going to do, Mean Gene? What you going to do? You don't touch me.
I got a field of lawyers. Oh, man. Yeah, they just don't make them like they used to. Segments, I mean. I'm not talking about Hogan. Fuck that guy. Yeah.
Sting made it clear on JBL's podcast and JBL's interview show on the WWE Network, back when there was one, people saying that Sting was the original choice. It was the backup choice in case Hogan said no. And Sting, and I believe him, said, I've heard that story before. No one came to me. No one said anything. And I believe that it never even got to Sting. Because
I just want to interrupt because the chat's kind of working and kind of not. Corey Castle is in our chat and Twitter right now.
Hey, Corey.
And I just wanted to shout out Corey. Fantastic guy. Very funny. Amazing wrestler. And he said, real heat.
Yeah.
Talking about this segment. And then I'm assuming when I said the segment, not the person, he's garbage. He goes, great point. Or he's talking about something you said, which is probably more logical. But anyway, it never got to Sting. Sorry.
Yeah, it never got the thing. Hogan saw how over Hall and Nash were, and Hogan hadn't been that over in since he'd been at WCW. So he said, yeah, let me be part of that. Let me see if I can grab onto that and then hog the spotlight. So, yeah, I don't think it ever even got the sting because Hogan was in immediately. And he made it seem like it was a hard sell. What about all the kids and the merchandising and stuff like that? But Hogan's always been about Hogan. And if it means turning heel to get that, you know, that spotlight or that the attention that he hadn't had since coming to WCW, then he'll take it. So yeah, I believe Sting when he said that he was never approached for it. But if people were saying and Bischoff were saying that Sting was the ultimate, was the going to be the next choice, he said, "Uncle, fine, I was the next choice." But yeah, I don't believe it ever even got the Sting. But
So Corey was saying the great point was what you said. That's what I was. Yeah. As I thought about it, I was like, it's probably not me, but he's talking about not taking the mic from the interviewer.
Yes. And you saw what Hogan, was doing. He was leaving, lifting up Gene Okerlund's hand, arm, you know, to steady it while he was talking. He never grabbed the microphone from Gene. He just lifted his arm up because he hadn't finished talking. But yeah, one of the all-time moments in wrestling history. Changed the game, changed WCW, gave it what would start the 83-week reign. And if you're doing your homework at home, fans of HIAC Talk Wrestling, you would have watched the documentary, Who Killed WCW on Vice TV, a four-part series. And none of the names have been changed to protect the innocent. And... a lot of the killers are still at large for who killed WCW, but this was a time when they were absolutely on fire, and this captured the attention not just of wrestling fans, but nationwide of mainstream sports. This was a huge deal. Cable TV was off and running, but the internet was in its infancy, and the pictures of Hogan, Hall, and Nash together in the ring. And I just remember Hogan doing the, imitating the Scott Hall pose. That was shown all throughout the infancy of the internet because people that didn't get the pay-per-view, and it was a pay-per-view back then, you had to pay to see Bash at the Beach and then find out what happened on Monday Nitro. But still, fans, yeah, all over the world were stunned. And again, this was on, it was on ESPN, it was on local cable news. Hulk Hogan had turned bad and WCW was off and running.
Corey Castle saying, I love the Monday Night Wars. I mean,
yeah, we all did, Corey.
And there's somebody that used to come into the chat, always would break my balls about, you just get over it. I'm like, well, I mean, if you like to do the bare minimum, that's fine. Sorry. I mean, you know, everybody's like, talk about what you like. Well, I tried, and then I said to get over it. So what do you want me to do, complain about wrestling now? Will you make up your goddamn mind? What do you want from me? No, it's very interesting because is this the only thing for a historian?
Yeah.
Okay, because we can segue this into but we'll keep the conversation going with the end of Who Killed WCW. There's two things that I've learned that I didn't know before. Kind of. This is sarcasm also. You'll understand when I say it. It's all things' fault.
Yeah.
just ask Eric or Hogan. All things' fault. But I like Eric. He doesn't like me, but I like Eric. We're not going to talk about that. I really fucking hate Vince Russo. Like, it used to be like a light Marky, like Markish type of, shut up, Vince. From the moment he said, I have a degree, I was like, oh God, I'm tuning out. I'm tuning out. I don't want to tune out. And it just proves my point that book smarts doesn't always equate to.
And he is the book smartiest man of all time, but he did know shit about wrestling.
He still doesn't.
Sorry. And
before we get into this, for those who say get over it, they brought him to my television. So I'm just saying.
You invaded MySpace.
Yes. Yes. He's in MySpace. I miss you, Tom.
Miss you, Tom. R.I.P. Vince Russo, he conned somebody into believing that he knew what the hell he was doing when he signed with WCW. Because all he did was, and watching that the special who killed WCW, and having to hear, anytime I hear him talk, it's the worst, because if there is ever a person that's going to kill me from broing me to death, it's him. He is with trash, Corey.
I love the way you said that, Corey.
He is with trash.
Because you will, honestly, Twitter will, X will either suspend, ban, or block your tweet or a comment if you say white trash. Okay. I've been there. Literally, wow. The second I've typed out white trash. So remember those DMs I showed you at the beginning of the show? Mm-hmm. You could say that in a DM and it's fine. But if you type out white trash, you will be locked out of your account. It's great.
Amazing. That's where they draw the line. Okay.
The marginalized Ritz, I can't say what I was going to say because that's bad too.
Yeah. But yeah, if I'm ever going to be broed to death, it will be by watching Vince Russo talk. Because he's so consumed with it. It was a television show of trying to make wrestling like Jerry Springer. And because what bothered him the most about wrestling was the wrestling. He was all about
backstage. He said it. He said the loud part out, the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. But when we talk about the heyday of WCW, that moment, July 7, 1996, will be a time where a lot of people said, well, this is when I became a wrestling fan. Their love of wrestling started with the NWO. And the NWO t-shirts outsold everything that WWF was having at the time, and continued, and that's probably the only merchandise from WCW that still sells to this day. You can get a Stone Cold shirt now, almost 30 years later. You can get an NWO shirt now, almost 30 years later. And what shirt you can't buy? A Hulk Hogan shirt. No one's buying those. I heard a funny story, a funny Big Show story. He went to how recent it was. He came back, I guess, from a fan expo, and somebody stopped him and said, "You sold 600 shirts." And he was like, "That's awesome. That's great." And, you know, he's walking out and he couldn't read it. And how much did a Rock shirt sell? Oh, he sold 10,000. Oh, and Stone Cold, he sold either between 9,000 and 10,000. So Big Show was getting all this all proud. He sold 600 shirts, but then he realized that compared to Rock. So he said, now I don't ask how many shirts I've sold anymore because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just in time, half an hour into the DMAC Power Hour, Derek McDonald, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, hello. Hello.
I'm Daryl Mack, or you can call him DMC.
I thought that was a DeLorean. Oh, he disappeared. I know he's still there. But there he is.
Oh, can you see me? Yeah, the child was a little... Right, he's very difficult, but we're good now.
Well, I mean, you know, he learns from his dad.
At that, you sound like his mother. But yes.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying that there's a connection.
But you sound like my mother. You sound like my mother, too.
That's great. Great. Yeah. Just sound like all the women in his life. I don't know. That's either good or bad.
I don't know.
We're gonna stop this. So we're talking about Craig is doing. We're technically doing the historian, which is gonna morph into who killed WCW. So it's okay. Really, I almost choked on freedom. It's open forum on who killed WCW. Since we're talking about the NWO specifically, Hogan coming into the NWO for the first time, and that big fat guy rolling into the ring getting stomped, which is hilarious even to this fat guy. That's funny to me because I'm not that stupid. Mm. Although I might take a swing at somebody. This one, well, there's two I'd take a swing at. You know the two. Well, you know the one. I don't know if you know the two. One. He's not Corey Castle. The gentleman, okay. Corey Castle, I would fight behind as he took the lead. I'd be taking his light work. We're going to get into that other thing. Like, this is all going to segue beautifully. So Hogan joined the NWO. It's cliche at this point, but it's the, what'd you say, 28 years, Craig?
It happened yesterday, 1996, July 7th, 1996.
Wow.
Hulk Hogan turned his back on WCW 28 years ago. And, Derek, you were two, right? Do you even remember that?
I was 28. Nice. I was 10. I was 10 years old. And I do remember it. And yeah. I remember
13.
I always hated Hulk Hogan. Like, I was always like a Bret Hart, Macho Man type of guy. So when he turned, I kind of felt vindicated. My brother, who's older than me, was a Hulkamaniac. And I remember he was like, what? Like, what is going on? Oh, and I was just mad he attacked Macho Man and Sting. Like,
right.
That was my beef was. I wasn't mad that he was siding with Razor and Diesel. But I remember it being a big deal. I remember it being even more of a big deal because, like I said, I was 10, so I didn't know any better. So it's like, oh, all the WWF guys are beating up the WCW guys. Like, what's going on? So it was a big deal to me to that point. But I wasn't shocked that Hogan was a bad guy because he was always a bad guy.
Okay.
And like I said, that was the one time that I liked him. Yeah. Like, there wasn't like FUNB Terry I didn't like.
Oh,
that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut. Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry. Let's just say I like the Liv and Dominic stuff live, dry humping on Raw better than. Hold on, guys. I'm gonna need a minute. Oh, they zoomed out. Yeah, sign me up. Can I be a Nepo wrestler and please?
Right, please what a life Dominic has lived over the last couple years. I know, man. Good for him.
It's just a minority of people going, this is stupid. Most people are like, yeah,
all right. Yeah, good for him. God bless.
Good for her. She's the champ. She's about to get her ass kicked by the top woman in the government. Corey was in eighth grade at the time. So you were 10. I was 13 in 96. So, I was just going to turn 13 the next month. So I just remember laughing because I was like, yeah, all right. And then I was like, wait, he hit Sting. Fuck you.
Yeah, right. And it was like in a 2-year span where Brett, who's my guy, he steals Brett's title. Essentially, after Yoko beats Brett, and then you're beating Sting a couple years later. I was like, this Hogan guy, and he had lust in his eyes for Elizabeth. So it was like three strikes and you're out for me.
Ah, jeez. I just, and before you came on, we dovetailed that conversation into, I learned two things. I really, really, really do. Really? Oh, he's in sixth grade. No, all good. I don't even know how old I am right now. So, Craig's only 30.
Yeah, it was a month before my 30th birthday.
Yeah, great. Great, that's just great. I'm going to go kill myself now. It's Sting's fault.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask Hogan and Eric, it's all Sting's fault. And, of course,
blame the Christian. Right? Yeah.
Blame the only supposedly good Christian in wrestling.
Yeah,
okay.
Right, yeah.
Knock on wood, just in case. I don't see him walking around going, praise Jesus. he's more like, you want to come down to the Rock? Let's go. All right. Yeah, there you go. I mean, the guy actually gets it. I really actually do hate Vince Russo.
Oh, he's
I can't fucking stand him.
He gives us a bad name.
Oh, New York? No, no.
And he's from Long Island, which makes it even worse. No. So it's like,
You don't have to worry about that. Nobody in New York likes that motherfucker. It's fine. I know that.
The one time I went to WCW at the Nassau Coliseum, I believe, is when he won the title, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's when he got speared through the cage.
It's the worst time to go. It had to be the worst event to go to. I'm so sorry.
It was so bad.
Dude, the last Nitro in Philadelphia was the first one Russo and Ferrara rode. Which, funny enough, didn't have Hogan in it. But now, as much as I criticize it, it also gives me for many reasons, for technicality, for charisma, and my favorite match I've ever seen in person, Sting versus Bret Hart versus the first the second hour of Raw. The semi-main event for the title at Nitro at the Spectrum. I'm not complaining. I'm complaining a couple months later.
Yeah, when it led to, yeah.
Oh, God. And Nash getting drunk on NyQuil. That was that episode. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Them walking around looking for Goldberg and the Villano masks. And then Scott Hall whipping out the old Razor Ramon accent. We're looking for Senior Goldberg. I can't do it. I won't do it that much because that was all that episode.
I saw when Meltzer said he felt like this series was like to clear Eric Bischoff's name for having, you know, for being the reason that WCW died. I didn't get that at all.
I don't agree. I was actually, that brought up another point I wanted to. I think this makes Eric look worse. Because as he stated in episode one, brother, you're in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on you. They would have never had to call Russo if you didn't let things get out of hand.
That's on you. This is as much your fault as anybody else's. But the one thing we did learn, the third thing, is nobody knows because everybody blames everybody else anyway still.
Yeah, they're all pointing a finger at each other.
It was a bunch of wrestler guys mixing with a bunch of TV guys, and the TV guys actually wanted nothing to do with wrestling after they sold to AOL, and AOL looked for their first reason to get rid of it, and they got rid of it.
Yeah.
For 1.6 mil? That's it.
And it's nuts because Bischoff had essentially three chances to be, you know, the number one company when he signed Hogan, when he had the NWO, and then when you made Bill Goldberg. Those are like three chances you had, and you blew all three of them.
And when you got Bret Hart.
Yeah, Bret Hart four. There you go.
Oh, five. Starcade 97.
Yes, Sting. Yeah.
That's all Sting's fault.
I was gonna say I don't agree with everything he says, but when he like talks to Tony Khan and tries to warn Tony Khan about certain things, I go, well, that would be the guy to kind of listen to because he was in your position, succeeded more than you did, and he lost it all. So,
yes, there are some things I believe. Eric says, and there's some not so much, but if there's ever a guy that should be listening to Eric going, don't do that. Yeah. Whatever. Tony's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah. And that's
remember, it's not his fault either. Remember that.
Yeah.
It's entirely.
Show's perfect.
Dan, since we have Derek here, and since the only reason we're having this because Derek is here, why don't you tell Derek what you were going to tell him and why we have him here for the limited time we have him here? Hit it.
Oh, man, I was going to bring in the I was trying to bring up the footage of Russo getting speared through the cage.
I don't need to see that.
I was going to play it in slow motion just to see his soul crush again and again. I mean, my soul crush, too. I will never forget watching that and just.
Yeah. And at that point, we still wanted to cheer for Goldberg. And every week they gave us a reason not to cheer for him.
Yeah. And every week they killed it.
Yeah.
The worst thing that happened to Goldberg. Also, the other lesson, Goldberg's kind of a piece of shit.
Oh, yes. God bless Bret Hart. I get it. Bret Hart, I love Bret.
Bret Hart is every, like, yeah, you're right, Bret. Sorry.
Yeah, like, I get it.
We all agreed how the book didn't, his own book didn't help him. Mm-hmm. That did.
Yeah.
They're just, and most of it was just, he's just fucking idiots. Just
yeah, everybody. Yeah. He hated everybody there. I get it, Bret. I understand.
Bret. I mean, I still can't believe they bumblefucked that. Okay, so I'm going to show some footage. I can't remember if I have the sound on or not, so we're going to find out. But a couple months ago, I was taking another shot at Hogan on Twitter, mm-hmm. Which you can't see. He's blocked me. Okay. For fair enough. And you know what's funny is he blocked me after I defended him. I didn't delete the tweets. They're out there, folks. when the news was first breaking about that god awful footage getting leaked of him, take your do-rag off, dude. Jesus, Christ. Is it sewn onto his head?
You can't take it off.
Is it? Yeah, no, we know you're bald.
Yeah, well, it's the secret.
Hello.
What's the secret?
It's coming. Like, I'm not gonna wear a do-rag. It's either gonna be there, look stupid, or I'm shaving it off. Like, hello. Yeah. It's a look. It's a stupid look. The only time it was funny is Halloween Havoc 97 when he wore that.
Oh, the fake. Yeah, the thing was macho.
And for a second, you're like, huh? Did he? And then, of course, Macho's like, puts him on. I'm like, all right, thank you, Randy. So the short version, too late. When that footage first came out, people were like, "This is disgusting." The leaked footage, and like I have been about Paige and anybody else's stuff that gets leaked, that's none of your business.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be seeing it. And I replied that I didn't defend or not defend him. I said, "But that's his business. We shouldn't have seen that."
Mm-hmm.
And he blocked me for that.
Can't have none of this, brother.
Kevin Nash blocked me for telling some guy to make something a different joke other than quad jokes. I was like, why don't you come up with something new instead of a quad joke? I got blocked. It's like, oh, fuck you. I'm not gonna say it to his face. He's very tall.
Very tall.
So after that, the news comes out and then you get the full scope, like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he only said the N-word 78 times. He didn't say it that many times. Well, I mean, probably did that day, but
he probably on the way over there.
Yeah, not that that word isn't bad enough. That's a stupid, worthless preface. But the context.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you make it worse, but he did. You get what I'm trying to say from a Whitey perspective? I'm like, you didn't just. Oh, wow, there's so many things around that. That's just worse. Just worse. And so for years, I ragged on him as somebody who isn't a piece of crap or tries not to be a piece of shit. Should. Oh, Corey, hold on. Backtrack real quick. Corey, I'll leave that chat up, and I'll address that in a second. We all will. Yeah. So Dean, very understandably, Dean... former founder of this show and former co-host and still friend, was like, Dan, he basically was like, dude, you know, it's been years. Maybe he's got a different, like, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but, you know, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And then,
mm-hmm.
and then the man mm-hmm. decides to put his name on a beer.
Yes.
And I'm not going to finish this story. I'm going to mm-hmm. let her tell the story herself. These might be muted because it's copywritten music, and I don't want to try that. Video, I can kind of cheat to get through just to show a clip. Music, they will shut it down immediately. So just read along, everybody. And we'll be right back after the two little clips here. Son of a bitch is showing it in the wrong goddamn format. Son of a bitch. Hold on, I got it. Those were a backup just in case. To address the chat that Corey Castle sent in.
Yeah, it's about right. It sounds like what happened. That's a pretty good show.
Like, yeah, she's helping consult on it, and he's like, yeah, cheat on you here. Cheat on you here.
Yeah.
And from what I've come to understand years later, she knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think of immediately is after the screw job, backstage in Triple H's face.
Oh, yeah. You knew, Hunter.
In his fucking face, still being the wife of Bret Hart and being like, no, bitch.
Yeah, you knew.
You fucking knew it. And one day God's going to strike you down.
And Hunter's
around,
like,
comes around, Hunter.
I didn't know.
I swear to God. I swear to. Oh, I swear to God, all you want, Hunter. I mean, she was. She was berating him as much as a Canadian woman who could have strangled him to death, tried to, could, and I just remember that on this stuff going. Wow, Brett, fuck you, dude. I have so much respect for you.
The irony of it for me with, you know, Brett's being truthful about it, all his fidelities, one of the things that he hated most about Sean, or what got him so heated about Sean, was when Sean went into business for himself on a live Nitro to imply that Brett had been sleeping with Sonny.
It'll be sunny days.
It was Sean who was sleeping with Sonny, but, you know, Brett, it seems like Brett slept with everyone but Sonny.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. Yeah, right.
and
he was knocking all the boys for doing drugs, and it's like, well, Brett, you were busy doing other things while the guys were getting high on the road. you were doing other stuff.
The one chapter I remember vividly is when it's in Puerto Rico on the beach. Mm-hmm. And the reason I remember it, because first of all, I really don't want you to make it a romance novel, Brett.
Very descriptive. Is just, yes.
The last two words in that chapter, sorry, Julie.
Mm.
I'm like, you know, don't.
Yeah. Right.
Holy shit. Okay. So with that being said,
yes.
Fuck you, Brett. Fuck you, but also, yeah, I get it, man. No, I mean, you know, the other stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm back around on Brett, man. I'm on your side because they are fucking morons.
Just a bunch of idiots.
Bunch of idiots. All right, I have this ready to go. So here's part one.
Okay.
I'm going to let it play once or twice so you read the caption and everybody can catch up.
Hogan, Jesus Christ.
This is fucking Christ, dude.
Did nobody warn her? Maybe, you know what? And this is the beer. I remember when, like, the press release came out, he said, like, you know, it doesn't matter about color or race. It's about bringing America back together again, brother, and blah, blah, blah. And not a month later, here we are.
Here's a little more of it. So this is the story time. Hogan paid me to be a brand ambassador, and then this happened. Contract was for a week. Look at him smiling. After one day, he's an idiot. I'm sorry.
He's an idiot.
I will pay you to hang out with me. And there's me pointing, by the way, Craig, there's me going, hey, Preston, Steve, there's your buddy. after one day promoting his brand, he canceled my contract because, I don't know why, but these are the new brand ambassadors he's hired. Yeah.
I didn't know this part. Oh my god.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, that's Derek, I set you up, man. Come on.
Oh my god. Does he
There's the text from her manager telling her it's done. The client equals Hulk Hogan and his team. We all see this. All the rest of the events are completely canceled.
Canceled
completely.
Right? Huh. He's at the event.
There he is. But I see this the next day and this.
Oh my god.
I guess they didn't have any room for us on.
They may have room for you in the Rosa Parks section.
I was about to say, given Hogan's few past, maybe it's good you wasn't on that boat, sister. And you know what? Like, I had heard of the story. I didn't know he had replaced him. I didn't know any of that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was like, oh, it got worse, Derek.
And then, like, I saw people going, well, she could be lying. You know, and I'm like, she could be, but when you're a self-admitted racist, you don't get the benefit of the doubt in my book when it comes to stuff like this. I'm sorry.
Let me add, as the token white dude on the podcast, I always go back to that apology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry you saw that, and I'm sorry it was filmed. Not I'm sorry I said it.
I said it, yeah.
I'll be better.
I'm sorry I was caught.
I'm sorry I was caught is legitimately the way he worded that shit. Mm-hmm. And then he's admitted he's racist.
Yeah. That, yeah. Multiple. Like, how would...
I don't know. So there's no way in hell that this woman, Essence, mm-hmm. is going to throw that out there, tag him, and hope to not get sued.
Exactly. That's my point. In this day and age,
plus the benefit of the doubt. So remember what happened to Gawker? She knows.
Mm-hmm.
So no. Sorry. And I have not heard a follow-up on the other side.
Is Essence taking legal action? I'm sorry.
Say again?
Is Essence taking legal action?
No, she just called him out.
Okay. What were you going to say, Derek? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say he had to be aware. He had to be aware of how this was going to look. He took the picture with her. Did he not take the pictures with her, show up to the event, blah, 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 and then leave and go, brother, we can't. We can't have, brother, we just can't have them. He's for lack of a better term, and I don't want to cuss because my mom might watch this. He's a piece of garbage. He's a piece, and like I said, when he came out, when he admitted to being racist on the tape, I don't care how many leg drops you've dropped. I don't care how many times you slammed Andre. I don't care how you saved the business in the 80s. None of that means anything when you're a piece of garbage human being. Yeah. And for anybody defending him, once again, the tape wasn't doctored. He said it with his own voice. Yeah. He only likes rich blacks. That's it. You have to be rich. And if you want to date his wife, you have to be a basketball player. That's it. Nobody made him say that. He admitted this. The man is not a good dude. I know he's part of people's childhoods and Hulkamania brother and blah, 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 this and that. He's a terrible person. And every couple years, he pops up to remind us he's a terrible person.
Yes.
And here's the benefit of the doubt on the other side. Again, guess she could put her victim card away. Because, of course, they're denying it.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. What proof do you have that she's lying? There's no valid proof at this point that she was. So basically, the argument is, well, what proof do you have she isn't?
Oh, okay. My God. Nope. I hated her.
And Corey said he gets paid for being a garbage dude.
Mm-hmm.
Or he gets paid for being a garbage dude. Listen, and you know what? It doesn't matter. Even if it isn't true, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to tell him to go home because nobody who is a piece of shit, except for three, get told to go home. Corey, you can tell me I'm wrong. You're a wrestler. I still see, except for the two, you know, promoters hiring back wrestlers after their pictures of their alleged sexual assault. I have to say alleged. You know, put out there. Sammy C word, which is funny because it's his C's on his last name. It's just all that shit. Of course not. Ric Flair. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, look, I spent the last maybe 2 weeks ago. I Chris Jericho's wife Twitter was trending for some of the things she says. And they still put him on TV. And before anybody goes, well, just because his wife says it, he's married to her. Okay, he's married to her. You can't be married to somebody and not be like-minded in some type of way. You might like different TV shows or different music, but the things that she was writing, if my wife ever said those things, it'd be like, all right, well, I can't be with you because you're a terrible person. So don't miss me with the Jericho didn't say it, so how do I know he believes in stuff? Stop it. But this is wrestling.
Before I insult her, even though I don't actually care, What is her profession? What does she do for a living? I mean that legitimately. Do we know?
I have no idea. I guess she's Chris Jericho's wife. That's her job.
I thought she was an insurrectionist. That was her job.
A what?
An insurrectionist.
Well, I mean, it's a different time. I know, man. But I was talking, Corey, I'll DM you, because then somebody will complain that I'm just beating a dead horse, and I'm like, well, not yet, he's still alive. Sammy! make myself laugh. We also forget that there's audio of Hogan calling The Rock the N-word. Can't say the S word, even though it's a simple one. I'm not saying it. Why am I? Yeah. Sex toy. What? Nothing. There. That one. God damn it. Oh, yeah. I can just bring the tweet up, idiot. There you go. That one.
Yeah. And
first of all, how does that even apply? I don't even know. I'm hyped for that. Okay. Is that. That's not Val Venus's sister.
I hope not. It would track, though.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah. Is it last name Morley?
If that is, then that family, holy smokes.
Well, they were saying...
No, that's... she was married to Edge for a little bit.
Yeah, before he...
Oh, wow, yeah. They look about the same.
Yeah.
I'll
be vain. It's fine.
Oh, and Val Venus was... In the Right to Censor, they said that was probably the closest thing to his actual character.
Apparently.
I believe it. And you know what always blew my mind about the Hogan thing? So he did that. Vince essentially paid him to stay home. They bring him back. They dress him up as a pirate. And they stand him next to the most well-liked man in the profession, like the most genuine human being in all of wrestling. Who happens to be a black man in Titus O'Neil, and they stand him next to him on the biggest show of the year dressed as a pirate, and he's surprised when people booed him in the arena. Like, only Vince would think, put him next to Titus. They won't boo him, and it's surprised when they boo him.
Yeah. Well, Vince doesn't always have the actual pulse, his finger on the pulse of what wrestling fans want. I mean, he honestly thought that he would be the good guy after the Bret Hart. And everything he said, he had no idea that he was creating one of the biggest heels in wrestling history. But he honestly, that's what he honestly thought, that he was going to get cheered, that he was going to, that Bret's a bad guy. Bret's the one who screwed himself, and I'm the victim here. You know, he actually thought that everyone was going to take his side.
No, he didn't have his finger on the pulse, because he usually had his finger on a woman he was supposed to be sleeping with.
Hi-yo.
Hey-o.
Rimshot. I can't help it. I'm funny sometimes.
You're above that.
I was looking for... Well, apparently she has deleted her Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Jericho still hasn't. Has he blocked me yet? No, okay. Yeah, she deleted it. Wow. Well, what was happening is somebody... She was... Likes got... Hulk Hogan's pirate impression uses the hard R's.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did. Jesus. Jesus Christ.
I love that guy. fuck, I just got totally off topic. Oh, yeah. So the reason I was asking about, wow, this is ADHD times eight. The reason I was asking about the career for her is around that time where it was like, oh, wow, she was at the January 6th thing. The screenshots came out of donations to a certain apparent Epstein Island visitor. Campaign donations, and there were several from Chris Jericho.
Yes.
So I'm saying, but that was that because I don't want to say he's the bread earner, because I'm trying not to be. It's going to sound sexist when I say. Did she make that decision, or did he? Is what I'm trying to say.
Oh yeah. So I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's a legit question, and I remember all this happened. I remember it was like in 2020, around the election time, and he sent out a tweet where he was like, I'm not the most political guy in the world, but why does it take so long to count votes? And I was like, what?
And that was the response. Somebody had a screenshot of the donations to Fuckface's donation thing. It was like, oh, really?
Yeah, and all and then I remember he was like, "All lives matter," and I remember MVP was like, "Delete this," you know, and then you hear that, you know, MVP kind of roughed him up in the hotel lobby, and you know, he ran from fighting MVP.
Did he?
Yeah, the story goes. The story is,
I don't remember it.
And AEW guys and WWE guys are staying at the same hotel, and Chris Jericho, MVP kind of approached Chris Jericho, and you know, well, apparently, before that, apparently he knocked Chris Jericho out on his cruise. That was the first story. And then they bumped into each other at a hotel, and MVP wanted to have another confrontation, and Chris Jericho got in the elevator and says, "I don't fight jobbers." And then everybody was like, "Oh yeah," and then they pointed to him wrestling guys in AEW as a response to that story.
Oh damn. Yeah.
But and Chris Jericho, he's another one. Like, he was my guy. Like, in WCW, the
dude, we talk about him still.
Yeah, and then like the worst thing I think happened to professional wrestling is some of these guys got on the internet and they must have thought they were too big to not be hurt by what they say. And Chris Jericho, he's another one. It's just like, oh, bro. Like, and then Swerve wins the world title. Yes, yeah. Swerve wins the world title, and he speaks at Swerve's dinner. And I'm like, does he not see how this is? Like, it doesn't work. Yeah.
They don't, and people that are like that don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because people keep talking about, and I'm trying not to make it political, because I get it, I'm a libtard, whatever. Well, don't they see this is this? Yeah, they don't. That's what they are. They don't care. They don't care. Yeah.
And like you said, if you just want to keep it wrestling, like you said, he's become the guy he complained about when he was in WCW. He's that guy now.
Literally what you. You either die a hero or you live long enough to have a villain.
Yeah.
Or whatever I just tried to say.
No, dude.
MVP beating the hell out of him tracks. That's good.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Yeah, good. Good. We've gone from, there's a summation. We've gone to him smacking around Goldberg in a locker room to MVP knocking him the fuck out on a boat.
Yeah.
Man. Corey, I was talking about Sami Callihan.
There it is.
I couldn't help it. I'm a shithead. I'm a piece of shit. You know I'm a piece of shit. Been told very many times. Me, piece of shit. And you know who is a piece of shit?
Who?
Joel Embiid.
Why?
What? Why?
What did he do?
Because he's playing
Team
America?
Kidding. Because he's playing for the Team USA instead of
Cameroon.
Thank you. And I'm like, but he's, but
okay. My problem. I almost echo what Dan said, because after we got Paul George, I would think Joel Embiid shouldn't be playing at all, because the only reason people are picking us to go past the division round, go to the finals, because if healthy, Joel Embiid is this. If healthy, all three of them can. So if I'm the Sixers, or if I'm anyone close to Joel Embiid, don't play in the Olympics at all.
Stay home.
Stay on ice. I don't care if we limp into the playoffs at 41-41. If Joel Embiid is healthy, with a healthy Paul George and Tyrese Maxey and whoever we get for power forward, I like our chances. I don't care what our seed is.
I've spent the last 3 years arguing with people. I go, you know what? I like Jokic, but I prefer Embiid. And I would fight with people, and I would fight with people. And halfway through this last season, Embiid was the MVP, and I was telling people, see, this is what I'm talking about. And then he hurts his knee, and they're like, see, Derek? And I'm like, well, God damn it. Like, God damn it. Because he was the best player in the league before he got hurt.
Yeah, and even with that series with you guys, in seven games, listen, he averaged 35 points on one leg.
He was the best player on the court with one leg.
Yes. So
that Maxey performance that one game, though.
Listen, oh, my
when
God.
When him and Brunson, I wanted to run on the court and punch Maxey in the face.
Well, so did John Stewart. You see that?
Look on Jon Stewart. Face? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought we won. Like, who hits that yeah. shot? All
right. Nobody.
Who hits that
Nobody
shot?
Nobody hits that shot.
Well then cut to all the video of Tyrese Maxey practicing that shot every single day before practice even starts. That's all he did was practice half court shots. So.
He almost gave Tracy Morgan a heart attack. You know, we almost lost Tracy in a car accident.
He almost
killed Tracy Morgan. Jon Stewart looked like he wanted to fight him. It was
he looked like he aged like 50 years in that one shot.
Jesus.
Like, oh, Christ. Jesus Christ.
He just wouldn't miss.
Oh. I went at it. A bunch of us went at it on Twitter with Knicks fans, and most of it was fun. But some of it got serious because, you know, the crackers came out. And not me. I'm good.
Yeah.
But by the way, that's Joel's quote about playing on Team USA. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Come on, people. Hakeem Olajuwon played for Team USA. Patrick Ewing was from Jamaica. He played for Team USA. Like, let it go.
Yeah. And I can't hate the Knicks because the Knicks are employing all of these guys.
I knew it was coming. I fucking knew it was coming.
Yeah, we call him the villain. That actually had
me. That actually fucking had me heated. That's the one tweet the Knicks sent where I was like, "Oh, you fuckers."
The villain over there. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
We're here.
But I was like, "You son." All right, fine.
And I can't hit on Jalen Brunson because Eagles fan left through and through. He gave Tyrese Maxey shit at the NBA All-Star game. Did you see that? At the NBA All-Star game, Jalen Brunson came out wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey. And Tyrese Maxey goes, "Why are you wearing that jersey?" He says, "Because I'm an Eagles fan." And he goes, "Why don't you tell everybody, Tyrese, look in the camera right now, tell everybody who your favorite football team is." And Tyrese looked away and said, "No, tell everybody who your favorite football team is, Tyrese. You're from Texas, right? Who's your favorite football team?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then Tyrese walks up and Jenna goes, "He a Cowboys fan. He's a Cowboys fan. You don't want him." Yeah.
Trade him right now. No.
Yeah, that's what I said.
This is a little born white, but when Harper shows up in Vegas stuff, I'm like, that's where he's stupid? Yeah. Are you stupid?
That's what he does.
Cause I'm like, I'm thinking about like if I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Even at a minor league level, if I didn't bust my knees, I'm not giving this up.
Nope.
So,
yeah,
what are we fighting or something?
You know, it's where you're from. Yeah. I root for everything Knicks. If I became a Eagles fan, or I would not wear a Patrick Ewing. First of all, we don't have that many jerseys to wear as Knicks fans. Like, Brunson gave us a new jersey to wear. Yeah. I've been wearing Sprewell jersey since 99, but you don't give that stuff up when you know that's what made you a sports fan. You don't give that up.
Thank your douchebag owner for that. I mean, it's not their fault.
Yeah, we're winning and all, but I still hate Dolan, and it's weird.
Oh, you will.
Rangers fans love him, which is weird, but you know, probably because he doesn't kick people out of Ranger games, he kicks people out of Knicks games.
When I say. Because they're white. When I say, fuck Josh Harris, and people are like, but, I'm like, but. He wants to leave Wells Fargo Center and make downtown Philadelphia a fucking clusterfuck, and it already is, number one. Number two, Devils, Sixers, and Redskins. So where's your head at, bitch?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah, why?
He's a slut. Right.
I do have a question, though, Derek. Do you still have your Saquon Barkley jersey?
We were keeping it fucking civil.
I came on here, and I was being nice. Let me tell you something. As recent as today, I was defending your damn quarterback because a guy I work with told me he'd prefer Josh Allen over Jalen Hurts. And I defended Jalen Hurts. Because he's been to a Super Bowl. And then I come on here, and you bring up Saquon. Okay. That's all.
Craig,
that was me. Okay. I'm going to clip it. I'm clipping that, but that was me. Okay.
You know what? I love Saquon, but when he's hurt in week 13, You'll understand. And I love Saquon, but you'll see. It's gonna happen.
You know we're gonna get a text that day, Craig.
Yeah.
Told you.
Mm-hmm. Told you. This is what he does. He's gonna look amazing and he's gonna get hurt.
Fucking he's not gonna get hurt.
He is cursing hurt. Your name when he signs off this call.
No, and
oh my god.
Derek and I apologize. I wasn't trying to.
Yes, you were.
It's July. It's not even football season. Why the day?
I apologize. I'm happy.
Can I bring it back to civility real quick?
Please.
All right. So just real quick, back to the Knicks Sixers playoffs. So like I said, everything was fun, harsh, but fun on Twitter until Embiid tried to kill Brunson.
Oh, when he tried now, to. Oh, my God.
Now, hold on. Wait, now, hold on. Shut up. Hold on, wait, take this ride with me. I'm only saying that because you're not near me. No. So everybody was dogging him. And I'm like, sure. Cool. I get it. I'm not going to defend him. He kind of pulled, he was trying to kill him. But then I forgot who it's the Italian fuck on the Knicks.
Dante DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo. Thank you. That's why I said, because I'm like, it's very Italian. I'm Italian, folks. Mutual. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, motherfucker. And then I brought up pictures of when he tried to trip. I don't even fucking remember now. When they were playing the regular season, he did the same thing to either Harris or Maxey, and I was like, "Hello, why is that okay?" Because he's white.
I'll never root for anybody to get hurt. But if he would have hurt Harris, he probably would have been doing you guys a favor. Because
yeah, no, I mean, listen, in retrospect. Yeah, but I'm saying at the basic level, it's the same. It was the same play. He fell. Yeah. He pulled.
Yeah.
And I want to hear, well, this is the playoffs. What the fuck does that matter? He tried to rip his knee out.
Yeah, it's
you sons of bitches.
I was
angrily tweeting like the white boy did the same fucking thing.
I had to pray that Embiid fouled out because it was like he was on one leg and he was like so much better than Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. He was so much better on one leg. And I remember I looked at my brother. I was like, he has to foul out. Like, that's the only chance we have.
Okay. Did you have a response for any of the stuff we just talked about?
Absolutely not. I gave you all my response for everything we talked about. Hulk Hogan,
as is
Chris Jericho's wife, and Chris Jericho.
Yes, and Chris Jericho. Maybe, possibly, allegedly. Who knows? So, Money in the Bank happened, I hate to focus on this, but we were talking about it off air while we were trying to get through some technical difficulties, but. There is a big, huge botch. Can't deny it. There's a big, huge botch on the show. It happened. And anyway, your thoughts on it, because explain it here.
It reminded me, ironically enough, of Starrcade 97 when Hogan pinned Sting clean. And we found out later that it was supposed to be a fast count. And it clearly wasn't. And that's what confused everyone, and it kind of dampened Sting's victory that they had spent a year building up to. Last night in Money in the Bank, or Saturday in Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins clearly had Damian Priest pinned for a three count, but the referee only counted to two and came down for a third, but there was no kick out. Which made a lot of everyone think, including me, that Drew was legitimately knocked out. We don't know why, because it was from a curb stomp that Rollins has delivered to thousands of people, and they've never been legitimately, not one of them has been legitimately knocked out. So we found out later what had happened was that Drew McIntyre's music was supposed to play right when the referee started counting. In a perfect world, it would have been after the referee counted two, and Drew's music would hit. And that's always a cue when someone's music hits to stop everything, even though the referee could have still kept counting because that with going on in the ring. But we find out later that and Triple H didn't do a great job explaining it, just that the referee's decision is final and everyone makes mistakes, which is kind of him saying that it's not the referee's fault that our sound guy was asleep at the wheel. Still a really good match. But Drew did make it to the ring, and the Damian Priest, who was not knocked legitimately unconscious, came back and scored the pin on Drew after he cashed in his Money in the Bank contract. And Damian still champion. CM Punk thwarted Drew McIntyre again, and Seth Rollins is pissed off. So we have a makings of a triple threat, maybe for SummerSlam or for something else. But because Damian won, Seth can no longer challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship as long as Damian Priest is champion. So we'll see how long that lasts.
As far as I am to understand it and what I was told, your referee is told to count three.
Yes.
No matter
always.
What.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's it. And I'm not calling for his job. I'm just saying, that we've been here before, folks.
Yeah. And and the referee knows the planned finish. So he should have kept counting instead of waiting for a cue. And I don't know how much all this is falling on the referee or the sound guy, but how much of it was on Damian, who knew that this was not the planned finish.
Should have kicked.
Yeah. Should have kicked anyway. Don't wait for a cue. Or you're putting all your trust into a sound cue on a three count.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a lot of trust. Kick out anyway, dude. And if you're the right, and the referee, the only person who's not to blame because he did his job. He counted, his hand came down, and everyone, including me, thought the match was over. So, but still, shouldn't take away. Thankfully, Punk and Drew did such a masterful job with their feud, which is going on a year now. They still haven't had one single match together, and it's the biggest feud in wrestling. Also, Jacob Fatu.
Ugh.
Unbelievable.
And unreal. I love the bloodline thing is still going. It's crazy.
It's crazy
to me.
Going on 3 years now, almost. And
I'm good with it.
And Kevin, Kevin trying to talk Sammy out of being in the bloodline. It seems like 10 years ago.
It seems like the NWO just broke up.
Yeah, but now you have Solo's crew. Obviously setting up for the return of Roman and the reunited Usos. But the question remains, Dan, if that is indeed the case, who's the fourth member of Roman's gang, Roman's bloodline?
The Rock.
Is it The Rock? Or is it Sammy? Or
that'd be kind of awesome.
That would be kind of awesome. You can dust off that honorary Us shirt. Or...
he's not feeling very Usy today.
He's not feeling very Usy. Another possible fourth member for Roman Reigns, his wise man, Paul Heyman, the reunited Usos, would be another Paul Heyman guy. Could be the fourth spot. And I'm not talking about CM Punk so much, but because the heat is off him, that would be a great time for the return of Brock Lesnar.
Is the heat off him?
Yeah, he's no longer in the... in that suit.
Oh, good. Bring him back. Let's go. Oh, he's just going to kill everybody.
Yeah. Well, see, that was my problem with Bron Breakker, because I see him as your Brock Lesnar of the future. Just like I see Jacob Fatu as your Roman Reigns of the future. I mean, hell, even Jacob Fatu could be your Brock Lesnar. Just an unstoppable monster. Who can also talk. And he does stuff like, and we haven't even seen, folks, if you're impressed by Jacob Fatu already, you haven't even seen half the stuff this guy can do in the ring. And they even brought it into the pay-per-view on Saturday that they had a problem getting Jacob Fatu into Canada. And Triple H had to work some magic to get him in. And that, and it's because he's too dangerous. No, it's because he's a felon. That's the truth. And getting him a visa to go over to even to Canada, even though it's, you know, connected, is a big major hassle. So, and if it's that hard to get a felon who is a professional wrestler into Canada, why on earth would you want to elect someone who's also a felon? Since they can't go to so many other countries to properly serve. But that's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast. Yes, yes, indeed. Well, other than a few gripes, I thought it was a fine show.
I think it was
a good show. It was the greatest show ever. Just my yearly reminder that not every show has to be the greatest show ever. It's been good.
Yes, we did. It's a good show. These are the people. And we got some great feedback. Thank you, Corey. And people that listened and watched this, we sincerely appreciate it. We can't do it without you. We could, but it wouldn't be as much fun.
No, it's never that much fun. And now we're down one because they're not a real person. So,
yes.
Did I say that shit? I said that out loud. Craig.
Sure.
Let's end this popsicle. Popcorn. Yes. Let's end this popcorn fart. Where can people follow you?
Let's blow this popsicle stand with a popcorn fart. And you can follow me at Craig Ragone on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, TikTok, if you're lucky. At Craig Ragone, CraigLigones.
Follow me on Twitter, Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Mastodon, your mom, at Dan Light. That's how we roll here. For Craig Ragone, I am, believe it or not, and some people actually believe it, and they fall for it every time, the above average comedian. We'll see you next time. And until then, keep it on the paper.